Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as a tour of the battlespace of the war for the free world. And I'm always pleased to be joined by one of the people who I have looked to as a leader in that war for many years. He served in the Congress as a member of the Congress representing the 2nd Congressional District of Michigan. And he served as both the chairman and ranking member of the House Intelligence Committee for years, covering, of course, the array of issues of great importance to our national security. And so it's a particular pleasure to welcome back to our microphones Congressman Pete Hoekstra. Thank you, sir, for joining us. It's good to talk with you again.
Frank, it is always good to talk to you and be with you and your listeners to talk about the issues of the day, those critical international issues.
Well, and several of them are right in your former wheelhouse, and maybe we could jump right into the first of those. When this program airs, we will know more than we do at the moment. We're speaking on the eve of the hearings in the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, hopefully representing a very important new phase of the effort by several committees, including your former Intelligence Committee, to get to the bottom of this Benghazi Gate scandal. Tell us what you think might come of today's hearings, Congressman Pete Hoekstra, which I understand you're going to attend.
Frank, it's going to be very interesting. I hope what the president now does, and first of all, we got to be really thankful to these whistleblowers. They're risking their careers to get this information out. And clearly, they have been totally frustrated over the lack of an accountability and looking at what happened in Benghazi. So hopefully today we'll open the floodgates to an investigation and a full accounting. The second thing is, I hope that the president applies some of the language that he is using for some other events and now uses those same words for Benghazi. What does that mean? The president's doing an after-action review with the utility executives on Hurricane Sandy. You know what? I hope he says, let's do an after-action review and get to the bottom of what really happened at Benghazi. It's 9 months later, and we really still haven't done it. The second thing is, the president came out very forcefully over the last couple of days about the sexual harassment charges in the U.S. military, saying it's time to stop the speeches, it's time to stop the lectures, the classes, and all of these types of things. It's time to hold people accountable for their performance, and if they're guilty, then let's hold them accountable. And I say apply that same tough language to what happened and what people did after Benghazi. If there were people that misled the American people, misled Congress and all of that, hold them accountable for what they do, for what they did, and let's get this information out to make sure that something like this doesn't happen again in the future. I think today, with good testimony from these whistleblowers, we may actually see the floodgates open. I thought this was a dead issue. The whistleblowers have brought it back to life.
Yeah, and I think, in fairness, these 700-plus special operators who came up on the net and I think helped encourage members of Congress to redouble their efforts to get to the bottom of this. So all of this is coming together, and we'll be following it closely. We'll look forward to getting your after-action assessment, Congressman Hoekstra, as a veteran of Capitol Hill. Let me turn to another subject that I know is near and dear to your heart. You spoke with our friends at the Langley Intelligence Group Network, lignet.com, recently about some of your profound concerns about what is teeing up in Afghanistan, as we witness President Obama's timeline for our withdrawal really beginning now to translate into both the withdrawal of our forces, of course, but also some very important and ominous changes on the ground there. Tell us what your sense is of where it's headed.
I mean, I'm very concerned about what Afghanistan's going to look like over the next 12 to 18 months as we pull down our troops. And then I'm even more concerned about what happens once we get out of there. As we found with Iraq, I'm not at all convinced that we will have a status of forces agreement that allows for any kind of presence in Afghanistan at the end of 2014, which means the Afghan army and the Afghan police are going to have to make a go of this all on their own. I don't think they're up to the task. They don't have the military, or they don't have the air support that has proved to be such a huge advantage and a tool for our forces to use. We haven't changed the fundamentals in Afghanistan much over the last 10 to 12 years. It is still a corrupt government. The economy is still based on an illegal, illicit drug trade. The governance culture, I don't think, has changed much. It's still Kabul versus the rest of the country. It's a centralized government versus a tribal structure. I think, and everybody knows that we are leaving and that this president doesn't have a commitment, which means that people in Afghanistan, the people in the border areas, they're all looking for new partners because they don't see the U.S. as having a long role there. So I think, we're going to spend a lot of treasure in Afghanistan with very, very little results.
Almost certain occupier of the vacuum that we will thus create will be, I fear, the Taliban and other Islamists who may include al-Qaeda all over again. It's just mind-boggling. One of the reasons why that will be so, presumably, Congressman Pete Hoekstra, again, is our guest, 17-year member of the House of Representatives, including services the distinguished chairman of its Intelligence Committee, is because of neighboring Pakistan. And there are two aspects to this that I'd like you to touch on quickly, if you would, Congressman. One is there are elections in the offing there, very closely watched and potentially momentous. There's also the story of Dr. Shakil Afridi. I spoke with your former colleague, Dana Rohrabacher, about him last week. He's a man who, as you know, helped us in the bin Laden takedown and is being severely punished by it. Tell us what your thoughts are about Pakistan these days and how we should be dealing with them, particularly in the Afridi matter.
Well, I think, who knows what's going to happen with these elections. But I think what we found in a lot of these cases, Frank, is that even when you have, quote-unquote, a momentous election, things don't change all that much. And I don't see any real change in Pakistan, their relationship with the U.S. or their relationship with their neighbors, especially what's going on in Afghanistan. I think the other thing, with the doctor, and I've talked to some of my former colleagues on the Hill about 6 months ago, and just said, isn't it time that America starts to ratchet up the pressure? Isn't it about time that we really get a grassroots organization here going in America and just demanding that the Obama administration be more forceful with Pakistan and potentially even cutting off foreign aid to Pakistan until this doctor is released, until we see some positive steps? And this doctor is, I don't think, released. I think released and sent to the United States or some other country that is going to provide him a welcoming home. And
with his family, which apparently was the issue that caused him to be caught there in the first place.
That's right. And the response from Capitol Hill was, Pete, now don't do that. Don't work on that. We're working the back channels, and the most effective way to pressure Pakistan is to work through the back channels. I think America's patience should now be exhausted. The back channels are not working. I don't see much effort at all, or I don't see much movement at all by the Pakistanis in regards to our friend. And so, I think it's time to ratchet up the public pressure, both at a grassroots level and at the congressional level. Dane has been doing that for, pretty much from day one. It's probably time now that the rest of us get behind that effort and that Congress starts putting restrictions. If we leave the doc hanging in Pakistan, who's going to be the next person that's going to step up and help America? They're not going to do it because they'll say, man, we took a risk to help America and we were left behind. We can't leave. We can't leave him and we can't leave his family behind.
Yeah, this is such a teachable moment, and I'm so glad you've said that, Congressman Pete Hoekstra, because as you very, very aptly described it, this is for much bigger stakes than just the fate of this one individual. And much as I think the Benghazi story is about more than just what happened to those four Americans who were murdered in Benghazi and no one came to their aid, that is something that almost certainly has profound implications for the rest of us. We appreciate very much having a chance to catch up with you, Congressman Hoekstra. We'll look forward to doing so again, as I said, after you've witnessed what goes down with the Government Reform Oversight Committee. Keep up the good work, sir. I look forward to our visits early and often in the remainder of this year.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Sounds very good. Thanks.
Next up, Jim Hansen gives us the boots on the ground perspective on all of this. Much, much more. Straight ahead.
To know what you think, leave your comments at 1-800-332-7131.